Throughout Advent, I have been looking at various Christmas carols and the history behind them and the scriptures that inspired them. And tonight, I want to look again. A number of years I did this, and on Christmas Eve, I did the same thing. I want to talk about Silent Night. Silent Night was thought of in the winter of 1818 when an assistant pastor named Joseph Moore was watching the reenactment of the Nativity in Oberndorf, Austria. The organ at the church where Moore served, which was the Church of St. Nicholas, needed repair. And so they decided to have this nativity in a private home that had a piano. And in 1818 in Austria, there weren't all that many homes that had pianos, so they went to where they could provide music to accompany this nativity scene. At the conclusion of the evening, Moore decided that he would take the long way home, which brought him over a hill which overlooked Oberndorf. And it had just snowed, and the beauty of this overlook reminded him of a poem that he had written years before. And so he decided that night that he would have sung this poem. And so he asked a friend whose name was Franz Gruber, not to be confused with Die Hard's Hans Gruber, but Franz Gruber, who could play the guitar and was also the church organist, but the organ didn't work. He said, could you come up with a simple guitar tune to this? And so he did. And it's interesting, I was watching last night on television, they had Silent Night, the song heard around the world or something like that. And they had these extraordinary singers from various, there were pop singers, but the one that was most moving was an Italian classical tenor. And he was talking in Italian about Noce de whatever, his song, and how they say Silent Night there. And then he sung it, but he didn't sing it with an orchestra. He didn't sing it with organ and magnitude of music. He had a friend play a simple guitar as he sang Silent Night. When the organ was repaired, Gruber decided that he would just practice to see if the organ worked, and he played that fancy little tune that only his church had heard. And the repairman asked to receive a copy of the music, and he then gave it to a couple of well-known families who also had organs in their home. The organ repairman has a small audience of customers. They then began giving it to their friends who had music, who had organs, who had pianos, and before long, it was all the way around the globe. Tonight, I want to reflect on the words of that carol and Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. I want to reflect on the thought, all is calm, all is bright round yon virgin mother and child. How can we remain calm remain in that silent night. As we think of Mary pondering all these things, treasuring all these things in her heart, as we think, as it was read here, Luke chapter 2. So they went, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. How do we remain calm when the conditions of our world are screaming in our ears? We have to understand that sometimes our plans are outside of our control. The situation where Jesus was born into was one of those situations. Mary and Joseph were not where they grew up, not where their home was. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. Caesar Augustus decided it would be a good idea to count the world, to raise taxes, to increase the kingdom. He could do anything he wanted, after all. So why not make sure everyone is paying? And it really doesn't matter whether you're 9 months pregnant, whether you're 've got people you need to take care of. It doesn't matter if you have a job to go to. You have to do what you have to do sometimes. But it is really God who sets the itinerary. That it is not Caesar Augustus that decided, I'm going to tax the world. And while we might think that things are beyond our control, and maybe things are beyond our control, they are not outside of God's control. Galatians 4 says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. When the time was right for God, he sent his son. 261 times in the Old Testament, God is referred to as the Lord Almighty, or the Lord of Hosts, a title denoting supremacy over everything. We've had to do a lot of things this year that we would not have chosen to do. We have changed plans. We have forsaken meeting with others. We've had to quarantine, had to isolate, had to take COVID tests, had to go to school hybrid. Psalm 37:23 says this, the steps of the good are ordered by the Lord, and they will delight in his way. Certainly they are not what Mary and Joseph had thought. But just like Mary and Joseph, there are times when our plans are beyond our control. But we can still hope, for God knows what he is doing And He's the one that is ordering our steps. Sometimes our plans are outside of our comfort zone. Luke 2, verses 4 and 5. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David. Because he belonged to the house in the line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and expecting a child. Mary and Joseph were, to put it mildly, in an awkward position. They were espoused, pledged to be married, but not yet married. But they were expecting a child. Then Mary is pregnant under suspicious circumstances. And it would have been my choice if I were Joseph. And I think it might have been Mary's choice if she could have chosen to say, I would like to stay with my family. I would like to stay in my house. Or I'd like to stay with my cousin Elizabeth. I'd like to not be counted right now. I'd like not to have to travel 75 miles, which would take about a week. And I know we see, I had a picture up there earlier. We often think of Mary riding on that donkey. I don't know if that is true. One, most of the time, animals were pack animals and they carried supplies. Second of all, I am not 100% sure. I have never been pregnant myself. But riding a horse, riding a donkey, does not seem like the best thing to do when you're pregnant. Not that walking 75 miles would be either. 12 miles a day while pregnant. And yet, they do that. Mary and Joseph needed to be exactly where they were. And maybe this year has forced you to remain in an uncomfortable place. And you are thinking, I just cannot take it any longer. But before you give up, remember Mary and Joseph's difficult journey and the hope and the certainty that God is at work despite our discomfort. Because at all times and in all ways, God is always in control. Luke 2, 6 and 7 says this, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke 2 tells us a number of facts. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. It's all very important. Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Needed to be someone who had never had children before. Needed to be a son. God's plan was that it would take place in a special place. They went to Bethlehem, and while they were there, Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Throughout history, up until this very moment, the birth of Jesus, Bethlehem was known for one thing and one thing alone. It was where David was born. But it wasn't where David lived. It wasn't where David set up the kingdom. It wasn't the capital of Israel. That belonged to Jerusalem a few miles away. Bethlehem was a footnote. It's like Quincy, Massachusetts. Birthplace of two presidents. Woohoo! It's like Brookline. Birthplace of John F. Kennedy. Not all that many people go to the birthplaces of presidents or kings. So to say, oh, George Bush the older, George H.W. Bush, he was born in Milton. Nobody cares. Maybe the person that lives in the house that George H.W. Bush was born in. And the same was true for Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a small village outside of the reach of Jerusalem, and it was meaningless. And yet, that's where God desired for the Savior to be born. And that's where Mary and Joseph, even though they lived in Nazareth, that's where he was born. That's where they needed to be. God's plan was that they would deliver a special message. Isaiah 53:3, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was wrapped in cloths and placed in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Rebecca was telling us over lunch, Las Posadas, which is the Mexican celebration of Christmas, actually the days leading up to Christmas. Christmas Eve, there's a parade through town. And if this is incorrect, you can tell me. They parade through town, Mary and Joseph and the townspeople parade through town. They have people play the role of Mary and Joseph. They go to various houses. "Can we stay here?" And a devil answers the door and says, "No," slams the door. "No," slams the door. And then, finally, one house says, "Yes, you may come in." And everyone in the whole town celebrates. Oh, if that were the case, that first Christmas. He was despised, rejected, without esteem. John 1:46, "Nazareth, what can come from Nazareth? Rejected, no room for you, without esteem, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." We need to recognize that all these things bring God's plan through fruition. Whether it is in our control or within our comfort zone, God is still in control. For many of us, this year and this season has been out of control. For many of us, this year and this season has been out of our comfort zone, and I get it. More importantly, God gets it. May Christmas serve as a reminder that God is still in control and that His glory can be still revealed. Let Christmas quiet your heart, for God is with us. All that confusion and commotion and discomfort and disruption that Mary and Joseph were willing to endure enables us to experience the one who will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Let Christmas quiet your heart, for God is with us. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light. Radiant beams from His holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Shall we pray?